So good evening. We're Turba Rabbanan Shir or Achaim Shir number 7, and we're finalizing our Shirim on Tzitzit. We've had quite a number of Shirim on Tzitzit, and this is the last Shir, and now we're discussing Tchelet. So the obviously we're discussed tonight. Without Tchelet, can we still fulfill the mitzvah of Tzitzit? Where does Tchelet come from? How many strings we have? We saw alluded to over the last couple of shiurim. We saw a mention there of two of tchelet, two white, two blue. Tchelet meaning blue. What to do with tchelet today? We'll see. Quite interesting, and I'll refer you to some interesting videos. Those of you got some time to listen to a couple of shiurim in English. Some incredible stuff in the halachic world, like arguing around tchelet today. And can we wear tzitzit without tchelet? So that's really the topic we're going to discuss today. I think it's quite exciting. We discussed everything on tzitzit until now. We think about it. We discussed the size of what the materials that come from, how many strings that we have, how you tie the strings, what if they break, the actual size of the beged. We measured last week that the minimum size, but we should have commissioned to be around about 56 or whatever centimeters. And we saw I think it was Piskat, the Tshuva said, should have 60 centimeters on each side, square in front and back to make it kosher. And now we're finally getting to the elephant in the room, right? Because tzitzit is being spoken about, but if you look at the psukim, what does the psukim say? The psukim says, the pasukim by Midbar says, Daber b'nei Israel, v'amar talehem, and speak to them, v'asu lahem tzitzit. And we should make tzitzit. If the pasuk had just stopped there, it would be beautiful. But the pasuk carried on and said, right, al kanfei big dehem, put them on their corners, ledorotam, we'll see what that means in a moment, they're four generations, we'll come to that in a second. And then the pasuk carries on and says, "V'naknu al tzitzit, put on the tzitzit hakanaf on the corner, petil techelet, the strand of blue." So we just seem to ignore that. Most of us today wear tzitzit without techelet. And what about the end of the pasuk? The pasuk says, "V'naknu al tzitzit hakanaf on the techelet." So that's why we got the question: do they go together? Are they what we call ma'akev? Can you do the one without the other, or do they not ma'akev? Could you, in theory, wear all blue and no white? If you never had white, you wanted to make tzitzit, all you had was tzitzit strands, could you make all blue and no white? So that's the question. So the pasuk says that. Now, the Gemara Masechet Benachot, and we've seen that all of this is coming from Masechet Benachot. Hello, Warren. Right? The pasuk there says, the Gemara that says, on ritem oto, says, melamed sha'makvin tzitzit, to the Rebbe. So the Rebbe wants to say that, yes, if you haven't got the tchelet in the tzitzit, or if you've only got tchelet, you haven't got the white strands in the tzitzit, it's pasul, it doesn't work, it's ma'akev. But chachamim omrim ain ma'akev. Chachamim say no, ain o ma'akvin, ain ma'akev, it's fine. Rashi on that Gemara there, right? Rashi on the Gemara there, Daf Lamed Chet, Amud Aleph in Menachot, says like this, ha'tchelet aina ma'akevet et ha'lavan. It says the tchelet, the blue doesn't prevent you from wearing the white tzitzit. It says, "V'af agav the mitzvah latay tchelet shnei chutim tzitzit." Notice Rashi says, "Yeah, the mitzvah is to put two strands of tchelet." So according to Rashi, Rashi said that you have to have you take your four strands of tzitzit. You fold them, become eight. Two of those out of the four have to be blue, and two of them have to be white. We'll see that in a moment. Afilu achi ein ze ba'akev et ze. He says, Rashi, it doesn't prevent one of them from the other. They should have two of each. Ve'i avid arbatan chelet or arbatan lavan yatsa. She has already answered to our first question. Rashi says to us, if you have all four, meaning eight, blue, or all four meaning white, eight whites, Mark, it's not a problem. So in other words, ideally speaking, we should have two of each. But if they're all blue, all whites, it's Rashi, not a problem. The Rambam, he passed in Hilchot Tzitzit. He says like this, the blue doesn't ma'akev the white. He says, Kate said, how does it work? You've got blue, you can do white. And it appears from here, at a very superficial level, right, that the Rambam seems to say that the blue doesn't ma'akev the white, but I'm not sure that the Rambam agrees that if you haven't got white, you can wear blue. But yeah, that's a little bit out of the scope for today, because Chachamim nonetheless say that it's not ma'akev in the Gemara. And most of us today, our problem is not wearing blue, it's wearing white only, not wearing blue. Right, so the question now is, we speak about this tchelet a lot, and everyone speaks tchelet, 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 but what is tchelet? So some of you might have been to the tchelet factory near Ma'ale Adumim. Okay? They the real big protagonists of the Murex. Okay, there's been a couple of opinions over the years, the last few hundred years, to try and reinvent this Tchelet and refine the Tchelet. We're going to see it in quite a lot of detail now, just now. The Rajina Rov, he was the guy that made it like his life's work. It's quite amazing. Rav Yitzchak Herzog, who's the current president's grandfather, who was the first chief rabbi of Israel. We'll see in a moment, he did his doctoral thesis on Tchelet. He's also an expert on Tchelet. He also mentions the Murex there. He does a lot of studying. The Rajina Rov doesn't speak of the Murex. The Rajina Rov speaks about a fish. Actually, not sure which one it is. It's mentioned over here in a lot of detail. Just slipped my mind out which one it was. It's a fish which people know about, the cuttlefish. I'm not sure what that is, to be honest, the cuttlefish. We'll discuss a little bit in more detail when we get to it in a few moments. But so bottom line is the Gemara again, right? If we look this time is also in Masechet Menachot. So the Gemara there says now, a couple of days later, this was on Lamed Chet, we spoke about a moment ago, but Hilchot Tzitzit. If you go to Mem Dalet, right, about 15 pages further down into the Gemara. So the Gemara is like, it's about Chilazon. What is this Chilazon? It seems to know, everybody knows that the Tchelet comes from a Chilazon. Now, Chilazon, today you would translate a Chilazon as like a long worm, like a crawly worm, right? The Gemara stands Chilazon. But look at the Gemara says, Chilazon zehu. What is this Chilazon? Gufo dome layam. Its body, right, is similar to the sea. Right? What does it mean, similar to the sea? Which could be like a worm, right? Like a bit flowy. Ubriato, but the way that it's born, its creation, is dome le dag, is like a fish. Ve'ole echad l'shvim shnan. Once every 70 years, it comes up from the sea. And it says the Gemara, ubedamo tzovin tchelet, and with its blood, uses blood to dye the tchelet, the strands of tzitzit. And lefichach damav yekarim, and therefore it's expensive. What does it mean, therefore it's expensive? As Rashi points out, what do you mean, therefore it's expensive? Because it only comes up every 70 years, it's expensive. In other words, it's rare, it's scarce. Rashi says a couple of things on that Gemara. He says, firstly, gufo mare gufo, tavnit jukuno. Right? He says, the image, like what it resembles the sea. I'm not sure exactly what that means. It comes up from the land, I mean, right, every 70 years, and therefore it's expensive. Now, there's a Gemara in Masechet Sota. So we see we've got most of the Gemara in Tzitzit and Menachot. There's a Gemara in Masechet Sota, which says like this. Hayar v'mei romed af yud zayim da Masechet Sota. Rabbi Meir used to say, Ma nishtana tchele mikol minei tzivonin? Why is tchele so unique to all other types of dyes? There are plenty of dyes. There were no shortage of dyes. Chazal knew about how making dyes and making colors, etc. What's unique about the tchele? So nesha tchele domed hayam. The tchele is similar to the sea, like we saw that the writer said, Gufo domedayam. So maybe it's the cover, the color, it's very blue. Right? So the Rabbi Meir says over here, the tchele domedayam, the yam domedarakia, and the sea is similar to the heavens. Right? Also like a blue. If you look up and down, the sea and the heavens are quite a similar color. Varakia domele kisea kavod. And the heavens are similar to the holy throne of God. To reminds of the holy throne of God. Shnei Mar, why he quotes a pasuk over here from in Shmot. She says, "Vayiru et Elokei Yisrael." This is Mishpatim, a Mabba Mitzvah parasha, mother. Right? Vayiru et Elokei Yisrael, v'tachat raglav, and under its feet, k'maaseh livnat hasapir, like the pavings of the sapphire. Uche'etzem hashamayim latoar, like the etzem, like the very essence of the heavens in its purity. So why is it related? Because the heavens are like the sapphire, sparkling, and there's a pasuk in Yechezkel which says that the thrones of Hashem is a sapphire. Okay, is a sapphire, or it's like a sapphire, whatever. So the sapphire. So therefore, we've got them joining in. Are you talking to me, Adam? You're on mute. Can't hear you. Oh, that's the connection. So when you think about it, it's actually a little bit wild. The tchelet is similar to the yam. The yam is similar to the shamayim. The shamayim is similar to the kisei kavod. So we see the tchelet, We're meant to think of all these things and trace our way all the way back to the Kisak Kavod of Heaven. That's what the Tchel is meant to do for us. It's meant to stir up in us this feeling of looking in at the Kisak Kavod of Hashem. So that's the connection over there, right? Now, there's a machloket between the Mefarshim, whether it's a dark blue or a light blue. The Rambam says a lighter blue. The other Mefarshim say a darker blue. But bottom line is, what we saw in the Gemara, it's an expensive process. It comes every 7 years, it's expensive, right? And there's a Gemara here in Baba Metzia, which discusses, right, this whole idea of the Chesed. Let's look here. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Hu Sheim Chanti Mitzrayim Beinti Pashel Bechor. And one thing which is very important, and that is that because it's so expensive, so obviously, like everything, it's a horrible thing to say, but it happens that when things are expensive, people look for the imitation. So, you know, it just happens. That happens. So just like tchelet as well, the tchelet is so expensive, it comes up so infrequently, so rare, and so scarce, that there was a move for people who wanted to, they wanted to pretend they were in tchelet, they wanted to feel they were in tchelet, they looked for imitations. And the famous imitation in the Gemara, there are other imitations as well, but the famous imitation in the Gemara is called the Kala Ilan. We're going to see it now in a moment. And this Kala Ilan was a type of a plant, and it looked very similar to the tchelet. Okay, so the big question today is, when we ask, we're going to see in a moment, about the tchelet that we're trying to find today, is it tchelet or the Rajina Rov and other people that try to use it for tchelet, is that tchelet? Or is that just another example of Kala Ilan and that would be possible? Because we have to have a Masorah that the tchelet is the correct tchelet, that the blood has to die, the color has to be the right color, it has to be in the water. We said in the brighter that it looks like that the birthing is like a fish, but it looks like the sea. So we're not sure, is it a fish? Isn't it a fish? Is it a worm? Is it a worm? It's a chilazon. That's where the murex comes from. Okay, so now Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Gemara in Baba Metzia, Samech Aleph, 61 Bet, says as follows. I knew who was a Bechor. When Hashem moved over in Mitzrayim and struck the firstborn, he was able to tell from the drops of semen who was the firstborn, who wasn't the firstborn. I know. Same thing, says God. People who hide behind Goyim and say that that's actually the Goyim lending money on with interest and it's them using the Goyim as a front. I'll be able to discern between them. I know who they are. And likewise, people who soak their weights in salt. And everybody knows that not like today. We don't even have money anymore. We don't have credit cards anymore. We use pay systems on our cell phone. Just use your cell phone and you pay. But in the good old days when you bought things, you had to weigh things. There were weights. And weights are very important. That's what the Torah tells you. Be careful with your weights. You have to be honest with your weights. People soak a weight in salt. I'm not sure it makes it lighter or heavier, but it looks the same, but it's heavier, I think. And therefore, when you use that weight, I don't know, because sometimes the heavier makes things cheaper, sometimes the heavier makes them more expensive. I'm not sure, but bottom line is, you want people who fix their weights, God will be able to discern that. And likewise, says Hashem, Umimi shetole kalailan bevigdo vomet chayletu. I'll be able to know who's the guy who's got the kalailan, that imitation dye on his tzitzit, and he walks around showing people that he's wearing tchelet. Okay, so it's quite a big thing in the brighter there, in the Gemara there. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, in that same Gemara, it's like this. Rashi there explains, what's Kala Ilan? He said, Tseva domen tchelet. Kala Ilan is also a blue, similar to tchelet. V'rachmana amar, but the Torah said, petil tchelet. What does it mean tchelet? But tchelet, the Mevakarim, is expensive. She tzavua bedam chilazon. It's the blood of the chilazon. Hello, Marco. All the way from the French Alps. Right? So bottom line is not so pashut, this idea of not wearing and not sticking to the right tchelet. Okay, so now the Rambam in Hilchot Tzitzit, we saw the Rambam already tonight, once before. You're going to see the Rambam there has a lot to say. Everything's like a salat. Tchelet amra b'torah v'chol makom miyatzeh miratzeh v'tuch shemekachol. He says this is the light blue colored dye of the woolen strings. This is when you look up to the clear blue skies. This is the color that you see. Has to be a long life dye. And that's the problem with this color ilan. it will eventually wash out. It's not long life. The tchelet has to be long life. When we do the litmus test today, for all the people that claim what the tchelet is, one of the tests is, does it stand the test of time? Okay, so he says, whichever isn't used, that's saying, pasul tzitzit. Alpha pishu, okay, okay, that's the right color. It's pasul. It's Raman says it's even worse. Rather not have a tchelet than have a false tchelet. Have a false tchelet, a pasul your tzitzit. So now I mentioned earlier on the question there of Rashi who says you've got to have two strings of tzitzit for tchelet. Rabbi says machloket rishonim, both Rashi and the Tosfot say you should have two. And they learn it from quite a complicated Gemara in Yoma, which says that kitzetz petilim. When I say petilim, that petil, which sounds like it's a singular word, they say actually means two. Petil means two. So petil techele means two techele. That's where Rashi and Tosfot learn it from. Right? The Rambam actually, in the notes, to be honest with you here, I think is a bit of a mistake. I never had a chance to discuss it with the editors of this, but if you look here, so the Rambam, on the other hand, disagrees and requires only one long string of techele, which when folded over becomes two strings. But I think if you look in the Rambam, you'll see that the Rambam actually says no. The Rambam says one string of tchelet, one out of the eight, which is a half a string, dyed blue. And you fold it over and you have seven white and one blue. Look in the Rambam. So it's straight out. One is blue and seven are white. The Kesef Mishnah is Rav Yosef Karo, the Beit Yosef, the person who wrote the Shulchan Aruch. It's his Perush on the Rambam. He explains the Rambam. He says like this, on that halacha of Tita Rambam, he says, V'tam olsh Rabbeinu midichtiv petil techeret, petil chad mashmu. He says, petil means one. So the Rashi and Tosfot understood that petil means two. The Rambam understood that petil means one. V'chein katab b'tshuva l'chachmei lonil, v'achi mashmu v'sifri, they quote from the Midrashim, that petil means one, and that is the story. Now, we've got quite a lot of visitors here tonight in our shul. Now, when I use the word visitor, it's actually interesting because Rav Yosef Soloveitchik, Rav Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, who was the famed Rav Soloveitchik of Yeshiva University and the Ritz Yeshiva, and he was the grandson of Rav Chaim and the great-grandson of the Beit Halevi, and we're going to see the Beit Halevi in the shul as well tonight. So there's a famous recording of his, when he would give a shiur, he would say, and I want to welcome in the Rambam. And he says, and now the Rambam, he'd quote the Rambam. Rav Baruch often mentioned this in a couple of his shiurim. And then he'd speak about the Rosh. And I want to welcome the Rosh into the room. And he'd bring him to discuss the Rosh. So when I saw tonight that in the shiur here, we've got Rav Soloveitchik, I felt it's a responsibility to invite him in. So we're going to invite in Rav Soloveitchik. And Rav Soloveitchik here, there's a shiur of his called Shiur HaGrid on Hilchot Tzitzit. And he discusses there the Rambam. And he says, what's the Rambam's vort? Tries to explain the reasoning of the Rambam. Right? And he says like this, in true Rav Soloveitchik, brilliant style. We learned, if you remember, the very beginning of the shiur, we started discussing tzitzit. So we learned there that tzitzit, how do we know what tzitzit was? Remember? The very beginning of the shiur, we spoke about tzitzit. And the question was, how do we know what tzitzit were? We all know the pasuk, which we said there, "Mayalachem tzitzit ritem oto," in the Shema, and "V'natnu al tzitzit napatil techelet," etc., etc., etc. But there was a pasuk which we started. I think it was the very first shir of Hilchot Tzitzit. I'll find it here in a moment. The very, very beginning of the shir. It was shir number 3 on page 101 in the books. And we quoted the pasuk in Dvarim, which said, "Gedilim ta'aselach al arba kanfot ksutcha asher techaseba." Make these strands. And in Dvarim, there's no mention there of tchelet. It's in Bamidbar, in the Shema, where it says, "In Bayomer Dvarim shomat lemasulem tzitzit afay b'gedem lodam l'adnuot n'apzot tchelet." There it says tchelet. So we've got tzitzit in Dvarim, and we've got tzitzit in Bamidbar. Rav Soloveitchik learns from that. He says like this. Based on the Rambam, he says, it appears, I read in English earlier, it seems to be the Rambam, we can distinguish between the two parshas of tzitzit. In Dvarim, where it says, and there's no mention of tchelet whatsoever, and nothing about wrapping things around. Only by Midbar, it says there, there we understand, you're going to put tchelet on, you're going to wrap it around as well. says the parsha in Devarim discusses the obligation to make the strands of tzitzit. And the parsha in Bamidbar talks about the mitzvah of tchelet. And dafka there, we speak about the petil. And the Torah gives us a new mitzvah there, he says. It's mechadesh, the mitzvah of the petil, which implies we're going to wrap things around. So we've got in Devarim, talking about the gedili, make the strands. In Bamidbar, telling us, wrap them around you with a tchelet. He says, from there, the Rambam learns that the kricha, the wrapping around, is a din in tchelet. And that means you've got tchelet, you've got to wrap them around the tzitzit. And according to the Rambam, it's a separate mitzvah. In Devarim, we learn about gedilim taselach. In Bamidbar, we learn about tchelet. They're two separate mitzvahs, and therefore the one can stand without the other. Right? Shatomo sefin, you add it to the tzitzit. But Derech Zuh says we can understand, right, with the position of the Rambam, that you, it's for a chetzi chut. Says you only do half a string, like we saw in the Rambam. You do half a thing, right? Because hare kavanah shem lashon petil. What's a petil? The petil means the strand to wrap around, and you only wrap one strand around. Therefore, we only have to half a string of tzitzit of tchelet, because only half has to be wrapped around, right? And therefore, he says the halacha of tchelet is fulfilled alone, separate mitzvah. So if you haven't got tchelet, you don't do tchelet, you do tzitzit. But it's amazing how he learns the two. He says the one teaches the din of tzitzit, the one teaches the din of tchelet, and they're separate mitzvahs altogether, essentially, according to the rabbi doesn't agree. Right? The rabbi doesn't agree. And he says, shnayim, he doesn't say like the Rashi and Tosfos, which says two and two. He says, but not half a string, a whole string, wrap that around. And you see, now, if you remember, I gave you guys a handout of all those different versions of how you make tzitzit. So if you look there, you'll see the Rambam. I haven't got it on me, but if any, maybe I have got it on me. So if you look, the third one, number three, was the Rambam. And if you look, you'll see that there's only one strand of blue here. In other words, only half is dyed blue. There's only one. There aren't two strands. In all the others, you could see two. There's four. Right, there's two, there's two, there's one, there's two, and there's one. So the Gra and the Rambam very similar. That's basically only got one strand of tzitzit of stretched blah, blah, blah. Okay. So now the question now, what happens is today? I'm not gonna discuss this in too much detail today, because I'll be honest with you. You can read about the Rajina Rov there on page 243, you know about him, Rav Gershon Chelera in the late 1830s. He was born, and he dedicated his life to trying to find this mitzvah. He discovered the cuttlefish. Cuttlefish had not a membrane, what do you call it? Maybe they mentioned it here. The blood was contained in like a gland. It was a gland. It had a gland, and the gland had this black dye in it. And the blue never had a kind of blue yet. They put other colors in. A lot of problems with it. But he was pretty convinced that was it. He wrote a lot of svarim. What's mind-boggling is that I mentioned over here that the Beit HaLevi, which is Rav Soloveitchik's great-grandfather, right, the Beit HaLevi, he lived at the same time as the Rajina Rov. Very, very conservative in his thinking. We'll see he's got a very interesting idea about Masorah in a second. And yet he wrote an introduction to one of the svarim. The Rajina Rov wrote three svarim. Right, and in one of them called Ein HaTchelet, the Beit HaLevi, who disagreed with the Rajina Rov, but they respected each other so much, he wrote an introduction to the Sefer explaining why he disagrees. Now, how many people do you know are going to publish a book and ask the guy who disagrees with him to write an introduction to the book, a forward to the book? It's mind-boggling. Right, but that's what Emet's about. When you're a Talmid Chochem and you're a Gadol, you're looking for Emet, so you don't mind if people disagree with you. You bring their opinion, you let them say what they're going to say. You believe that your emet is emet, that they believe theirs, you respect theirs, and you want their emet to be in the book. It's just absolutely boggles the mind. And yeah, so that's about, we'll get to that in a moment, what he wrote. But before we go back there, it's unbelievable. When I started off at the beginning of the show, some of you hadn't joined yet, and I mentioned the pasuk that we learned tzitzit from, right, tchelet from at least. Not tzitzit, according to Rambam, we learned tchelet from gedilim taselach, tzitzit, but tchelet So we say in the Shema every day. Then we say, now look at the Pasuk. Go to the Pasuk, go to the page, go back to page 235, if you've got your books with you there. Well, if you're in France and you left it behind, it's okay. Right? And look at the pasuk there. Daber el bnei Yishev amartalem, and tell them to do the following. Number one, vasu lahem tzitzit al kanfei figdem, to put tzitzit on the corners of their clothes. Skip over that word of the time for a second, and then v'natnu al tzitzit hakanaf, and on the corner put a petil techelet. Now this is a mitzvah ledorotam, forever. So where should that word ledorotam have been? It should have been Daber el bnei Yishev amartalem vasu lahem tzitzit al kanfei figdem v'natnu al tzitzit hakanaf petil techelet ledorotam. Put the tzitzit there, put the blue there forever, for generations. But it doesn't say that. It says, v'nachnu al tzitzit hakanaf petil techelet, after we already spoke about Nidorotam. Nidorotam only seems to refer to vasu lahem tzitzit. Make tzitzit Nidorotam. And it's not machirus at all, but the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rav Chaim ben Atar, we already discussed him, we don't discuss him now. I think we discussed him. He writes like this, Zachen netzad sheyesh b'mitzvot shnei dvarim, halavan v'atchelet. And he says, on yirtzeh b'ha'ir, lama katav ledorotam be'emtze pratavit. Why is the word ledorotam forever written in the middle of the pasuk? Between tzitzit and tchelet. He says, that's already a hint that we're not going to have tchelet forever. We're going to have tzitzit forever. And that's why it says tzitzit ledorotam. But we're not always going to have tchelet. And that's why the word Dorotam applies to tzitzit. Forever we'll have tzitzit. But tchelet, we're not going to live forever. And therefore he says, if you don't have tchelet, not ma'akev, it doesn't run out of problem, you can wear tzitzit without tchelet. Because embedded in the pasuk is a hint that we're going to have tzitzit forever, but not necessarily tchelet forever. Okay. And there's a couple of midrashim like it as well. There's a midrash rabba, they bring here a midrash tanchuma. There's also a midrash rabba, which the editors of here add on. Right? Now, what's interesting is that when did we lose Tchelet? So it appears that we lost Tchelet at times of the Gaonim. But some will say even early before the Gaonim, towards the end of the Savorayim, which is the period between the Gemara and the Gaonim. So quite a long time ago, in the 600s, 500s, 600s, really seemed to have lost Tchelet. So now, when I told you that the Beit HaLevi wrote to say, for the Rishon Lezion was convinced this cuttlefish was the right thing, with all its problems. And I think it is even of the opinion, if it wasn't 100% the right thing, and it might have been close, you should still try and do things. The Beit HaLevi comes with quite a lomdisha answer. He says like this. He says, look, I'll say it outside. You can all read it here in note number 18. It's mitoch hakdama le'einat ches. In the hakdama to the sefer of the Rishon Rov, he's writing why he doesn't agree with the Rishon Rov. And he says like this. He says, look, if you coming to tell me, Mr. Rabbi Rishon Rov, that you've now discovered something, you've rediscovered what was lost. The question is, what did you discover? Did you discover the fish that wasn't found and now you found the fish again? Or did you discover the process of making the dyes which was lost and wasn't known? Then you can tell me that you discovered something, that there once was a Masorah, the Masorah was lost and now you rediscovered the Masorah. But the cuttlefish was always around. And everybody knew about the cuttlefish. It was never lost. And everybody knew the cuttlefish had this black dye inside its gland. So if everybody knew about the cuttlefish, and they all knew about the gland, and yet nobody since the year 600, he was in the 1800s, so for 1200 years, they knew about the cuttlefish. They knew the cuttlefish had the blood in it. Why didn't anybody use it for tchelet? That's proof that it's not the tchelet. And even if it might be, it doesn't matter. It's a strong enough Masorah that people didn't use it. They knew about it, they knew about the blood, they knew that it could be used as dye, and they never used it, therefore we can't use it. If you would have told me you discovered a fish hadn't been seen for the last 1200 years, or you discovered a process that had been known for the last 1200 years, and you rediscovered the process, I would say, you know what, maybe onto something. But everyone knew about the fish, everyone knew about the process. And yet for 1,200 years, nobody thought this fish was the tchelet. We call you the tchelet now. Okay, and that's what he says at the end of the day. He says, and therefore he says, look over here, it's only after he clarifies that this fish or the method of his dye being processed ceased to be used and their existence was forgotten, or the knowledge of how to use them was forgotten at some point and the tradition was broken, then the words of halacha He says, then we can say, as ye lalu divrei halacha l'raya, we can say, halacha is a proof. Okay, but until then, not. Now, I just want to say a couple of things about the Beit HaLevi, because, if I'm not mistaken, did I see something here about the Netziv? I don't know what got me going there. Ah, the Aruch HaShulchan, that's what got me going there. Okay, so just very, very quickly, the Beit HaLevi studied in Volozhin. He was actually the great grandson of Rab Chaim of Volozhin. Okay, he was the Talmud, the main Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, who found that, right, and he founded the Volozhin Yeshiva, and his son Rab Yitzchak Yitzela was the Yeshiva Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin, and Rab Chaim Brisk was on his mother's side, the grandson of Rab Chaim of Volozhin. Rav Itzel of Volozhin, the Rav Chaim's son, right? His daughter was married to the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. In a second, you're going to know what the connection is, right? The Berlin, sounds like Berlin, Bar Ilan. Okay, so his son, Rav Meir Bar Ilan, is who Bar Ilan University is named after. Okay, so this is the whole story. Now, there was a bit of a fallout there. Rav Chaim of the Beit HaLevi, and Rav Naftali Tzvi Berlin were Ramim in the Yeshiva. And Rav Naftali Tzvi Berlin's brother-in-law was the Rosh Yeshiva. And he died. And then Rav Chaim, there was a competition who became Rosh Yeshivas of Volozhin. And the Beit HaLevi won Rosh Yeshiva. And the Netziv won Rosh Yeshiva. And the Netziv won out. And the Beit HaLevi left. A bit of a fallout in the families. Later on, Rav Chaim of Soloveitchik, the Beit HaLevi's son, was brought back to Volozhin by the Netziv to come be a Ram there, and he ended up marrying the Netziv's granddaughter. All in the family. Okay? Now, why am I mentioning all of this? Because we're going to see in the moment the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, very, very famous, Rabbi Yechiel Michael Epstein. He was from Vilna, in Lithuania. I think he was actually in Vilna, but a well-known Lithuanian person. He lived just off of Mishnah Berurah. His svarim are phenomenal. A lot of people think that he's a better apostle than Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah was accepted. Not a question. He quotes Mishnah Berurah a lot. He's much more makel than Mishnah Berurah. Now, he was a brother-in-law. He married the Netziv's sister. And when the Netziv's first wife died, who was the granddaughter of Rav Chaim of Chaim Volozhin, right, he married their daughter, Rav Mikael, the Aruch HaShulchan, and his sister's daughter. He married her as his second wife. And that, from the second wife, came Rav Meir Bar Ilan, who Bar Ilan University is named after. So it's quite amazing. You look at it now, it's all intertwined. You've got Rav Chaim, you've got the Beit HaLevi, you've got Rav Michal, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Netziv of Volozhin, Rav Chaim of Brisk. They all joined in some way. It's unbelievable. They all joined. Okay, so now we go now. We see over here the Aruch HaShulchan. So again, we bring in the notes that the former chief rabbi of Israel, I mentioned him, Rabbi Yitzchak Herzog, he dedicated a lot of his time to well as that, and he wrote his doctorate on the story. He doesn't agree about the Chilazon being the cuttlefish, by the way. He mentions the murex. I heard a shir. I'm almost sure that he mentions the murex as well, which is what the guys at next to the Tchelik place today, what they use, and they say is the right thing. He mentions in his thesis there as well, the murex. I think the Rajina also could have mentioned that. I don't remember. The bottom line is, the Aruch HaShulchan says like this. Aruch HaShulchan Aruch Chaim says, V'da sheze shanim sfurot she'echad hitpa'er shematza chilazon. He says, there's a number of years now that somebody says she hitpa'er. In other words, he almost ingratiated himself. The English may say that he claimed to have found the chilazon. V'asa mimenu tcheyot v'mshichach rab eze anashim. A couple of guys followed him. Ach lo haya lo shomea migdolei hador. No gedoilim, he says, really accepted it. Umichlal Yisrael, and from any general Israel, Nitpatel hadavar ad ki yavo goel tzidik v'ayim yabena v'ayim. He says that the Tchelet has been scrapped until Mashiach comes. He's not in favor of rediscovering the Tchelet at all. Right? Not so excited about it. Now, I'll post them to the group, but there are two shiurim. If you're interested in watching, they're already fantastic. The one of them is by Rav Aryeh Leibovitz. You might know Aryeh Leibovitz is a well-known. He's Rosh Yeshiva, one of the Rosh Yeshivas of YU. He's a rabbi in New York, and he's got a shiur. It's not a secret. And it's mentioned here quite a lot that Rav Hershel Schechter, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva University, does go for the Tchelet at what they make here in Israel, the Murics. Rav Aryeh Leibovitz is obviously his Talmud, and he's a big protagonist. In fact, he's got Murics in his fish tank in America. He's got a couple of Murics in his fish tank, and he's growing the Murics. I think he plans to actually make his own Tchelet. So he's a big believer in this. And he gave a fantastic shiur, very persuasive shiur, on why the Murics is the correct Tchelet. The problem with that shiur was, that in the shiur, he quotes a gadol in America, a real big a Talmid Chochem, called Rabbi Yisrael Reis... And he quotes that he took his Talmid in there to this guy's place, and he knows that he doesn't wear the Tchelet. And one of the Talmidim wanted to ask him a shaila about the Murics, because they know their Rebbe Leibovitz is a big protector of the Murics. He said to the guy, don't ask him about Tchelet. And then he actually made some comments about it. He said he doesn't believe in Tchelet, but his son and grandson do wear it, so he hopes, his son and son-in-law, sorry, do wear it, so he hopes that he's right, Rebbe Leibovitz, because they're fulfilling a mitzvah in the Torah. Which led me to find his shiur on it. Now, when you listen to Rebbe Leibovitz, you're persuaded that the Murics is the Tchelet. When you listen to this guy, Shir, you're persuaded that the Murics is not the Tchelet. Okay, actually, he's made his research and he's taken, he goes through 10 Gemaras and he proves out every single way. So there's one Gemara in Dalai Shas that might gel with the Murics. 9 of them are clear it's not the Murics. I'll post them to you. Really, it's worthwhile, especially you launch, you're sitting there at the pool in Florida. Got nothing much better to do other than to listen to our Shirim. I advise you to listen to these. It's fantastic. Really, 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 really exciting stuff. Okay, let's carry on. So now, we discussed the number of strings, we discussed the idea of today, the Beit HaLevi, we saw the Beit HaLevi, right? We saw Aruch HaShulchan, what he has to say about it. Rav Dov Lior, there are a couple of poskim who are, Rav Dov Lior was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Kirim Kiryat Arba, he was a posek, a big Zionist posek, right? He says that in a tshuva of his, or in a letter that he wrote, he says that he went over the subject, and in his humble opinion, it seems that from what he's learned and what he's heard, that this Murics is almost without a doubt, with certainty, the right thing. Okay. The Yalkut Yosef, that's the Rav Yitzchak Yosef, Rav Yosef, Avadi Yosef's son, he writes there, he says, Kama Shem Atzuk Heyom Shenotnim Tchelet Petzitzit, he says, I don't believe it, I don't buy it, it's not convincing. So Rav Lior says, yes, Rav Yalkut Yosef said, no. Right, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, it's actually quite amazing, and I'm getting a little bit sidetracked here, I know, but I just remembered. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, we're going to see over the page the Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef is the Chida. We discussed the Chida, I think. I even told you about the Chida. It's got this massive grave. The Chida has got this 600 meter mausoleum in Har Menuchot. Ayari. And Rabbi Mordechai is actually buried in that home of his. It's quite amazing. On the same page here today, the Chida and Rabbi Mordechai Yahu. Because the Chida who was Rabbi Mordechai Yahu says, "Ein lanu efshut ladat ma utzeva tchelet amiti." We haven't really got any clue what the real color is and which chila zor it is, right? Va'od she'ein tchelet makevim. It doesn't bother you. You can wear tzitzit without the tchelet. Right, so therefore he doesn't think you should wear it. So we've got the Sfaradi poskim here, not so in favor. Some Ashkenazi poskim were more in favor. They got the Lord Tchelet, I'm not sure who he is. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was a big gadol, right? And again, I'm going to tell you some other piece of useless information, but we're going to see in a moment at the end, we're going to end up with Igrot Moshe. Igrot Moshe, I think I thought this before, because I was in Yeshiva when he died. Igrot Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein died in 1993, down on the 13th of Adar. And there was a mess up with his plane. He ended up arriving in Israel, and he was buried on Shushan Purim in Jerusalem. And on Shushan Purim in Jerusalem, you aren't allowed to make kespedim on Purim. But the Gedolim of Jerusalem paskin that Moshe Feinstein was me'ever lateva. He was beyond nature, and therefore they allowed him people to make kespedim. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who was a gadol ador at the time, refused to make a kespedim. He says he's not big enough to make a kespedim for Moshe Feinstein. Anyhow, we're quoting him here, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He didn't instruct his students to wear tchelet. Although apparently he acknowledged there was some support, there's some letters that he said, that it's quoted as being said that Rav Menachem Burstein, obviously a guy who's close to him, related that he sat with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and showed him all the material he had compiled throughout the Tchelet. And Rav Zalman said to him that strictly from the perspective, the material was sufficient to issue a ruling on the matter, that the Daf of the Murex is indeed Tchelet. But he can't rule the issue for other considerations. I'm not sure what those considerations are. But so maybe he felt it was okay. Now we come to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein, as you all know, he was a gadol of America. I could spend a whole night giving sure Rav Moshe Feinstein won't. Interesting, he only arrived in America in 1937. He was born in 1895. So he was already 42 and arrived in America. He didn't come as a youngster. He came in his 40s to America, and he just overtook America. I mean, anybody who was there, there were some real gadolim in New York before he came. But once Hemkin, who was like the gadol in America before he came, once Rav Moshe Feinstein arrived on the scene, it was just like a knockout. It was a proper knockout. So he wrote over here, and I don't think that he was too in favor. He says, coming Yanni Mikari, to the few things about tzitzit, he says, that we said in the Kiratz Kibbutz Menachem, which we saw, he says, Shkulam mitzvah, Kulam mitzvah, tzitzit equal to all the mitzvahs in the Torah. We saw that already, that reminds us of Tariag. Remember, we saw the Gematria already about that. And you got to see it, etc. If you do it properly, so you'll be able to you'll meet the Shechina. Rabbi Eliezer Bar Yaakov says that you chizuk shlo yichetat, prevent from sinning. He says you can get all these chiyuv without the tchelet. So I think he's saying over here, what do you get into the trouble of tchelet for? You have so many zchuyot of tzitzit without tchelet, leave the tchelet alone. The chida, this is already, these guys learned it, it's amazing, eh? Because we spoke about the Rejina Rob was in the late 1800s. We've got here as well, we spoke about the chida, we spoke about the Ben Ishchai. Ben Ishchai as well, that's like the Ben Ishchai is like almost like a Sfaradi Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Like every Sfaradi has a Ben Ishchai in there. Right? And he says there, amazing thing, the Ben Ishchai. A lot of Kabbalah in the Ben Ishchai. The Ben Ishchai says, that when you look at tzitzit, even if it hasn't got tchelet, you've got to imagine that you're looking at tchelet. Think that you're looking at tchelet, right? And then and get the inspiration from the blue, because the blue, remember, it sends you all the way up to Hashem. Okay, so bottom line, we've seen quite a lot of people who are in favor. I think that most Ashkenazi poskim and definitely Sephardi poskim are against. I don't think that's the right thing. The original of dedicated his life to it. Beit Levi thought there wasn't a Masorah. Right? We've seen that you can be Makan Mitch without it. And please God, I don't know, Mashiach will come. Somebody will come and we'll have the true answer. But until then, it's going to be a big question mark. But I strongly recommend all of you to watch those two shiurim. I'll send them to you, and we'll meet again next week.